You're listening to I Hate the Finns. This is episode 40-some. I have no idea what the hell episode it is. We started to lose count. We had some shows that jumped ahead. We had some stuff that was recorded, and we'd get to it eventually. So I ended up confusing the hell out of myself. Zach doesn't even bother to keep track of what goes where with these shows. That's okay. You're actually better off for it. You're smarter than I am. So, like I said, my name is Keith. I am joined by my co-host, Zach. And this is just kind of like a free-for-all show. We can talk a little bit about what went down in the national championship game, since this is the first time we've recorded since that happened, even though we're almost a week out from it. The Super Bowl participants are set. It's Kansas City and San Francisco. So chalk, unfortunately. I was hoping that something would go awry and you'd get some kind of upset somewhere, but not really. And then we can talk about, we had Shrine Bowl this weekend, Senior Bowl coming up. Zach loves the Senior Bowl. He can't get enough of it. I think you look forward to the Senior Bowl more than everything else outside of the draft and maybe the combine.
Yeah, I mean, the Senior Bowl is always the most exciting week. And it's always nice, too, because there's always some guys in the Senior Bowl that are kind of lesser known quantities. But it's also cool because the past couple years, bigger name guys have been coming more consistently. So it's a good mix, and it's a nice time to get to see guys and, you know, practice drills and stuff like that, and then play on the field on Saturday. So Senior Bowl is always fun to watch.
Let's talk about that for a second. Your boy in this draft, Justin Herbert, is a participant.
Yeah, the quarterback group, I wish I could sort the stuff on their website a little bit better. I should make my own spreadsheet. But the quarterback group is actually pretty good. We got Herbert on the South team along with Jalen Hurts and Steven Montez. So Hurts and Herbert are fun to watch there. And then on the North team, it's mostly Jordan Love, but it'll be interesting to see Anthony Gordon from Washington State and Shea Patterson from Michigan as well.
I see some Dolphins fans on Twitter bringing up Gordon every so often. And it's like, I don't know about that outside thinking at this juncture. I don't know that we can afford that. What does Justin Herbert have to do to really lock up that top 10 selection, which he could be a top 10 selection anyway, for all we know. But for someone who's had a discerning eye when it comes to his play, what does he have to do next weekend? The days leading up to next weekend.
I think the more important stuff are the practices and days leading up to next weekend. Like, you've seen what Justin Herbert can do in a game. Of course, he has a big arm, he's athletic and stuff like that, but like, he needs to put together a consistent week of practice. Like, if he puts together a nice couple balls every day and then, you know, shows his legs a little bit on Saturday or whatever, that's all stuff that we've seen. But if it's all inconsistent still, you're still looking at the same thing and having the same questions that you had coming into the Senior Bowl. So this week, he just needs to show consistency.
Do you have a feel at all for the team that is most likely to pursue him? Because, I mean, there's some oddball names. There are the usual players in your Chargers, Panthers, maybe. What do you think, though?
Yeah, I mean, those guys definitely feel like the teams that are probably most in the mix for him. I mean, some other oddball teams that might make sense. I think if he somehow made it to Tampa Bay, I think they'd be in the market for him. I don't know if he gets in that range, but I think that is exactly who Bruce Arians will want as a quarterback. Plus, you got to bring in some sort of competition for Jameis there. So at the end of the day, I think they'd be interesting for that for Herbert. I know a lot of people have put Jordan Love to Indy, but again, another competition situation for Herbert to come into. I think at the end of the day, if he were to walk into a situation where he would be the number two out the gate and have to compete for a spot would be a lot better than him going to a spot and potentially having the job handed to him. I think Carolina is an iffy situation if they dump Cam and just take a rookie quarterback and move forward. I think Matt Rhule and him could be interesting together, but again, I'd like to see Herbert compete for a job and see even a tier two, tier three NFL quarterback and how they prepare and how they work through progressions and how they just come to practice and put a consistent day on the board day after day. I think those are the things he needs to see to progress. So Vegas doesn't feel like it, but I could be wrong. But I think 13 and 14 for Indy and Tampa Bay could be two wild card kind of Herbert teams.
He's got Raiders hair.
Yeah. it needs right? to be rounded off at the back a little bit, but
yeah, no, he doesn't need like the Lloyd Christmas haircut that Mark Davis has, but you just think about like some of the best quarterbacks to play for the Oakland / Los Angeles / now Oakland, now Las Vegas Raiders. Think yeah. guys like Kenny Stabler,
yep.
just the hair just poking out the back and whatnot. Okay, so let's just get into it. Championship game last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much went the way I expected. I don't know about you. I almost feel like we were robbed because I think it would have been better to watch LSU and Ohio State go at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just had that feeling when Clemson won that game a couple of weeks ago when they beat Ohio State. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Because Clemson, some of the things that they do well, I felt weren't going to be enough against LSU. What'd you think? What was your overall impression of that game? And yeah, you can talk about some of the prospects. Isaiah Simmons was the big name jumping out there on Twitter during it, and he's going to be a name we're going to probably hear a ton about in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, the first half was great, and then Clemson just couldn't put it together in the second half to keep rallying. So, I mean, of course, Joe Burrow had a great game, so he kind of solidifies his status there as that number one pick. I don't think that should be an issue. Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson had great games as usual. Edwards-Helaire had another really good game. Not the sexiest game, but he had 150-plus all-purpose yards. And then, you know, you saw good stuff out of guys like Patrick Queen. Grant Delpit looked good. There was one or two plays where I still had some head-scratching questions for Delpit. Kalyvon Chaisson looked good, even though he didn't post a lot of stats. He was disruptive. Christian Fulton, he's a guy that I've been lower on than most people, and I think during the national championship he got exposed a little bit for some of his deficiencies, which we'll go into more as we kind of get down the line here, but he didn't have the worst game, but he didn't have the best game. And I think overall, you know, LSU just played a cleaner game, so when it's all said and done, that's why they walked out with a win. That might have been Trevor Lawrence's worst game in college football, but even then, like, it wasn't the worst thing I've seen put on the field. He had some worm burners and stuff like that, which is uncharacteristic of him. He still put up 200-plus yards. Completion percentage was sub-50 there, or sub-60. I can't do math off the top of my head here. But he did.
Numbers are hard.
Yeah, he did use his legs again, and he got a touchdown. That read option was nice. So with all said and done, you know, he didn't have the worst night, but he definitely needed to have a better night to beat LSU for sure. The shocker is that Travis Etienne's going back for another season.
Yeah, what in the hell?
I don't know what to tell you on that one. I think he's running back one for next year. But I don't think running back one next year is any better than I had him as running back one this year. I know everybody's top four running backs are very jumbled. I don't see any benefit for him going back unless again, it's a get the band back together kind of thing. But
well, that's absolutely what it is. I have no other, you have to figure Clemson's the favorite next year. Because I've not seen anything from Bama's program to say like they're going to be a monster next year. especially because, I mean, some of the guys are staying, but some of their primo guys are out of there, Tua included. You know, Tua, Judy, Jedrick Wills. even with, and we talked about this on the last show, with Najee Harris staying, Devontae Smith, who I think was the first guy to tip his hand that he was going to stay. But like Ruggs is out of there. So it's Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. I mean, they're the guys now.
Yeah.
In there. And I mean, like, I have no doubt that Alabama is going to reload in terms of what they have at the receiver position. That's all they do, it seems. But I mean, you're losing stud top end talent. So I don't know what's going to happen there. And then on the defensive side of the ball, some of the guys are losing, Xavier McKinney especially. So I don't know. You have to figure, as far as I know, Clemson's the favorite forever, which kind of sucks. I mean, I love college football, but it's gotten to a point where Clemson and Bama, outside of this year with Bama, are in it every year.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it. You're recruiting the best kids in the country. What do you expect will happen when you recruit at that level? But I'm so tired of looking at Dabo's dumb face. I'm tired of his crap. I don't know. I'm not trying to turn this into a rant or anything, but it would be cool to see literally anyone else in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I mean, it's tough with that. And that's kind of the downside to college football is, you know, it's much easier to put together a quote unquote super team because you're just recruiting whoever you want. When you're the top schools, like if you go and say, "Hey, I want you on my team," very few prospects are going to turn that down.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of that is to say, not to get too far away from the point, that I assume that's why Travis Etienne's going back. But you mentioned that he's arguably running back one this year. And of all the running backs in there, he's probably going to run the fastest. So now all you're talking about is if he comes out next year, he just has more mileage on him.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think it's going to make his stock better. I don't think it's going to make his stock worse. Essentially, it's just stay healthy and you're fine. So if he wants to go back one more year, it is what it is.
Yeah. Jefferson's out, I think. Because, I mean, so Chase stays because I think he's a underclassman.
Yep.
Jefferson's out. Thaddeus Moss, I thought was a surprise.
Yep.
Entrant.
Do you think LSU wins more than 8 games next year?
No, I mean, they're losing. You're losing Joe Burrow like that, and they're going to lose a lot of key pieces on defense. So, I mean, that's going to be a young team next year. So,
oh, yeah.
No. Well, I mean, actually, I don't know.
Eight's a tough one. Eight and a half. If you set a line at eight and a half, I think that's the toughest call for LSU.
Only because the SEC West is such a beast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not sure. But part of that is, well, I mean, a huge part of it, Joe Burrow. And we mentioned this off air, but a lot of Dolphins fans seem to think like we're actually going to trade up for that guy.
I mean, the Bengals aren't trading out of that pick.
No.
They're just not. So,
no,
but,
no,
I mean,
no.
It's just a conversation that's not even worth having.
You could offer them all your first round picks and probably like $500 million in stadium renovations, and they'd probably still turn it down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're locked in. But like, he's not a perfect prospect. He's an awesome prospect, but there's things I see in his game where I'm like, man, you got to do something about this at the next level. And I talked about this. I messaged pretty much everyone about this Monday night. He is so cavalier running in the open field. He's got to be careful. Because
he kind of reminds me of early Tannehill running the ball.
Yes. Where you're just like, man, get down. Like, I mean, yeah. I love it. I love the fact that you want to take on that middle linebacker. But at the next level, I can assure you that's just not going to work out in your favor.
Yeah. And I think that's something easy enough to fix. That's not something that I would be terribly worried about, especially once you get that first good look. You're going to be like, yeah, that sucked. I'm not doing that again.
Did you think it was weird when they asked him where he wanted to play and he said, whoever pays me?
No, because that's what I say going to work every day.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Like,
no, I mean,
I appreciated the candor in there, but I thought it was interesting when he came out and said that, because usually like you'll get a PC answer from most guys who are going to be a high pick, in his case, easily the number one pick in the draft. Most guys are like, oh, you know, it's just be an honor to play anywhere. And Joe Burrow is just like, nah, whoever pays me the most money.
At the same time, like, whoever pays him is going to be whatever team picks him. So, like, that's kind of a generic answer, too. It's just got a little more oomph to it.
Very cash money.
Yeah, because, I mean, any team would, you know, I'm not going to say any team would take him, but, like, you know, he's going to get paid by somebody, obviously, because he's going to get picked in the top seven picks.
I don't think arm strength's really a problem with him.
No.
Just watching him put a deep ball, especially on Monday night, I was like, I don't know why this was ever like a main discussion point.
It's not. The only thing is that he tips his hat a little bit with a deep ball, because you'll watch him drop that back shoulder. But like he gets it out so quick, and you know, it's not going to be enough to make it a issue or a worry of any kind.
What do you think about Isaiah Simmons? Because he dominated that game early. Like, the first quarter was pretty much his.
Yeah. I wish I would have pulled up that tweet of his position spots throughout the season. But
it's pretty much everywhere.
I mean, he's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. He's going to be a guy that a team's going to take. And I'm not scared about his production and his ability at the next level. I'm scared to death that the NFL is going to ruin him and fuck up and just not know what to do with him.
Okay.
So like, even when we've talked about like, should the Dolphins take him at five, God forbid a Tua situation isn't available. Like, hell yeah, he's awesome. Like, he can play anywhere. He can do anything. He would come in and definitely fill the gap and pain left by Minka leaving for the trade there. But like, again, the NFL scares me to death with not being able to like come through with fun players and use them in a variety of ways. There's some people are just so stuck in one mindset.
You don't think Brian Flores could make it work?
I have more confidence in a guy like Brian Flores. But it's not necessarily individual folks. It's just the NFL track record of just fucking those things up.
Man, we're broken as Dolphins fans too. Mainly because it's hard to trust coaches when you're a fan of this team. And I was saying about this the other day. If Brian Flores gets us to an AFC championship game, does that mean he's pretty much the second best head coach in the history of this team? I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like what Juan said, didn't really do anything. Jimmy Johnson, all he did was handcuff Dan Marino, and then in his swan song lose 62-7 to the Jags, lose a bunch of wild card games. You know, man, he was the guy who beat the Bills in the playoffs, but I mean that was pretty much the death rattle when that happened. Yeah. So I mean it's not gonna take much to be like that number two guy, but I think that's why Dolphins fans are so damaged when it comes to a lot of stuff like this. It's hard to trust this team. And I mean, they just routinely get it wrong.
Yeah. So, and again, that's going back to Simmons. That's the thing, you know. And I mean, the thing that scares me is they were trying to situate Minka into a one strong safety role, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And you saw how that went. And so, like, and I get the thought process behind that is like, let's learn one thing at a time. And what we need at the moment is a strong safety because, you know, they were thinking they were going to play Bobby as that free safety, which I don't think worked at all this year, even when he was healthy.
I wasn't a big fan of it.
So when they were trying to do that, that's the kind of stuff that scares me about bringing Isaiah Simmons. I think he's stupid athletic enough that he'll make plays regardless. But like, is it going to hinder what he could fully be?
Do you think the Tua buzz has subsided at all to the point where we don't have to worry about people going nuts with these trade possibilities? Because I see that now Detroit's starting to float stuff. Detroit's obviously going to want to trade down from 3 to 5, especially if you can pick up the kind of haul that the Dolphins possess. That's a no-brainer. Any football team worth their salt would try that.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I just think it's not worth thinking about until it happens, and then we can analyze whatever it ends up being. Because, I mean, the conversations that we've kind of had are, you give up 5 and 26, and that's it. And 2 first-round picks, and that's it for potentially your franchise quarterback is not right. A bad sell at all. And it's exactly what this team is trying to position themselves to be able to do. I mean, and then I've seen people that have talked about, you know, well, the Dolphins shouldn't have to give up any of their first-round picks because 5's more valuable than anybody else with 2 first-round picks. So give up 5 and 2 seconds or something like that. We're like, I'd rather just give up the 2 first than the stuff like the Jets have done in the past when they move from 6 to 3. At the end of the day, none of us know nothing about anything. So until we get the news over the wire that, you know, a team has traded to 3 and we can see what the compensation is, I just don't think it's worth the conversation because we all had that conversation real quick when Tua declared. So why beat that horse into the ground at that point? You know, move on to other things. You know, one thing we've started talking about more is 18 and 26 or whatever. Those have become the more intriguing picks, to be quite honest, because as of right now, 5 is Tua, and that's what it's going to be until that move is made.
I'm interested to see what happens. I just haven't seen a lot of chatter about it. And you always, you know, whenever something is first on the market, like when he declared, and all of a sudden people were just like, we have to get to 3 right now. It's like, let the process play out. I mean, it'd be nice to secure that pick right now, but Detroit's not going to do that because they don't even have an accurate idea of the kind of value they can get at that spot. Yep. I mean, like any smart businessman, they're going to sit back. They're going to figure out the field. They'll go from there. And I mean, if you're Miami, you hold all the cards. You're ahead of all the other teams there. So that's number one. And you've got that. I don't want to give up 18. 26 would be great, especially because, I mean, the thing, I don't want to give up a 2, especially if it's ours, because that's a high 2. That's a valuable pick.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think you're going to see a move to 3 until, what's that going to be? Week 2 of free agency, mid-March there. Because I think everybody's going to want to see him go to the combine, go through that medical check, see what comes out of that. By that point or shortly after that, I'd say probably shortly before that, should be his next like major checkup. Because he's not going to go into the combine if it doesn't look good. He'll find an excuse to punt on the combine because he's not going to be doing drills or anything there anyway. He'd just be doing interviews. So I think you'll have free agency start, and I think that'll be an important piece too because there could be some QB movement, Cam Newton, guys potentially retiring and moving on. Who else is free agent wise? Drew Brees is staying where he's staying put or he's retiring. Tom Brady, I guess that could be an interesting quarterback thing if they decide to move on, but they don't really have a better option to stay competitive in the moment. So I don't think Tom Brady leaves. I think right after that, but prior to Tua's throwing session in April is when a team's going to pounce. Because then you've started to put enough medical stuff together. You should be at least putting enough medical stuff together to make a good guess on that. But you don't want to wait too long till Tua has done his throwing session, looks healthy, looks good, and then the price doubles or triples.
Oh man. And then people think that it might be a thing that he'll try to get number 13.
I mean, who cares? If he comes in and Dan Marino okays it,
you think Dan
would
do that?
That's none of our business.
I
don't know. Dan's done a lot of interesting things.
He has led an interesting life. I'm fascinated by this, actually. I just wonder. Because, I mean, like...
Well, I mean, if they keep Rosen, I think Rosen should stay 3, Tua should wear 1, and then we'll have 2 quarterbacks that make up 13. Exactly. So we should theoretically be okay.
Number 1, I feel like more quarterbacks should wear. I love that number on the quarterback. And you don't see it that often.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, who gives a shit? It's a number.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's kind of like, even that fascinates me. Like most stuff I see out there, I just think like, I don't care about that. Numbers sometimes, like just think about all the times we've talked about how pissed off we were with Laramie Tunsil wearing 67.
Yeah,
that drove us nuts.
Yeah, that one hurt a little bit. And then Gasecki wearing 86 when like 88 was occupied by Leonte Carew at that point, where it's like, please just be 88.
Yeah, a classic number for the Dolphins in terms of tight end is 88. So, I mean, that's the number he should wear. I mean, he looks so awesome at the end of the season, too. That's one thing I don't think we've really talked about on this show much, is the strides he made through this season. Like, he, toward the end of the season, started to look like the guy we thought we were getting out of Penn State.
Yeah, and I mean, the interesting thing going back through quarterbacks and stuff for this draft is, I think, you know, we've joked a lot about if the Dolphins drafted Herbert that, you know, Gasecki's production would go through the roof. I think Gasecki's production could go through the roof with any of them, because the more I went back and watched, you see college football teams running so many slant to deep center concepts where you have your outside guys running slants, and if that's not there to hit, you're using your tight ends that are now seam threats and your slot receivers to clear out the back end of the field. And if you get a one-on-one situation there, you know, you'll hit it. So it could be interesting with Gasecki, with, I think, almost any of these quarterbacks that are coming in as rookies, because they've all found a lot of success in those kind of schemes.
I'm just happy to have him at this point, especially because now you're at a point where his upside, in my opinion, is way higher than Goddard. For sure. I still love the guys in Baltimore, although I'd argue that his upside is probably better than theirs, too. Maybe Hayden Hurst is up there, too. Hayden Hurst has some pretty impressive physical gifts. Mark Andrews is just a beast.
And I think what you see with Mark Andrews right now is what you're going to get, which is fine. Because that's all you're going to ask him to do is be a slot threat and a consistent receiving target for Lamar Jackson there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go ahead and tidy things up with this show. So who are your non-NFL comps?
I'll give you my 201, since we talked so much Tua, but we'll try to do another show out of this where we'll comp non-NFL athletes to NFL players. So I was on a long drive today, so I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about Tua, and I was also thinking about my Dortmund guys for soccer, and he reminds me a lot of Marco Reus, because Marco Reus has been the team captain for ever since Hummels left for Bayern, and he took over as the legit full-time captain. He's the captain, he's always the leader. He's a guy that's a distributor. He's not afraid to pull off going for goal to set somebody else up to put the team ahead, you know, but at the same time, he's a threat to score himself. And he's very like quick twitch about the decisions that he makes and with the way he does it. So that was my Tua comp, was Marco Reus. I'm sure we could do a bunch of different ones for Tua, but I was thinking about my Dortmund guys too, which made sense.
Did you see the Puma pack that came out, I think it was this weekend, and it's Dortmund inspired, so it's got their colors.
What? I did not. I'm Googling it now.
I saw it this morning, which is funny because I think I saw it right after you messaged me about the Tua thing, but you wouldn't tell me the comp. You're looking at them, right?
Where? I can't find this.
The Puma one looks great. The Puma net fit is a bit much, and I'm into garish things. Like, when things are a little bit loud, that doesn't bother me, but these are some serious holy shit.
Are you talking about the new 4-point ones? The ones that are like, they're like they're Dortmund colors for sure, but they're like yellow.
I think it's 5.1. I'll send it to you after this show.
Oh man. But the 4-point ones are crazy too.
They are for sure. And then you had one for Jerry Jeudy too.
Yeah, so my Jerry Jeudy one, and we'll get the Bama guys out of the way. We can do other people that are not Bama-centric, is another soccer comp. And I was thinking about Jerry Jeudy and the way that he's another kind of quick twitch in a different sense of his movement, and like his footwork is so good. And he'll just slice you up and cut you up. And the first person I thought about was Rose Lavelle from the women's national team, because she had some nutmegs during the World Cup that were disgustingly good. And I thought about Tobin Heath too, because she's kind of in that same realm, but Rose Lavelle's taken over a little bit for Tobin Heath. So I thought that was a good one for Jerry Judy.
I like it. We can continue to do this through the pre-draft season, is what you'd call it. Before we go, did you see how many times Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball tonight?
I did not see any football for today, so please inform me if he threw it 3 times.
Until halfway through the fourth quarter, I think he'd thrown it 6 times.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it didn't matter. I think San Francisco at one point was averaging like 15 yards per carry. I mean, like Raheem Mostert just absolutely ran all over them, because Tevin Coleman, they kept calling it an elbow injury, but I've busted my shoulder before. I know what it looks like. And when he did it, just his reaction to it, I was like, something's up there. I hope he's okay. I would love to see him in the Super Bowl, but I don't know what his deal is going to be. But it didn't really matter tonight, because Mostert, 4 touchdowns. I have, 800 yards rushing. I have no idea what he finished at. But Jimmy G, up until about halfway through the fourth quarter, six attempts.
Like, so was Jimmy G worth that trade? I'm trying to look up what they gave up for him.
They gave up. It was a second round pick, wasn't it?
Just a second. I don't know anything else.
I think it was a 2. I mean, there might have been something attached, but I mean the prime piece in there is a 2.
So I mean, like, I guess he's worth it too. I don't know. I think that's a little. He hasn't really done anything. He's been hurt, and half the time he's benefited from the same crap that Tannehill's benefited from. And you want to trade Tannehill for a 2?
No, we traded him for a 4. I don't know. I'm not sure. His the win loss differential when he's in the lineup, as opposed to not for the Niners, is staggering. So I mean,
which is totally weird. It's almost like his presence is more valuable than his like production.
I mean, it seems that way. I mean, that team is built on some old school principles. I mean, obviously, looking at the stat line for tonight, but I mean, when they have used 3 running backs through the season, they had 2 guys. Tevin Coleman gets hurt. I don't know if he's going to be able to go for the Super Bowl. But I mean, like that is a team that wants to run smash mouth offense. Cause I mean, which is strange, because I mean, Kyle Shanahan, you look what he did like in Atlanta, his most recent stop before taking the San Francisco job. And I mean, he was able to focus on Julio Jones as an X. And from that, he builds everything out. Like he worked, cause I mean, they had that 2-headed monster running attack between Tevin Coleman, who was in Atlanta at the time, and Devontae Freeman. And then they also had Mohamed Sanu.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Austin Hooper was the tight end. I think Levine Toilolo was the other tight end. So, I mean, like, that's a pretty decent group going there. But I mean, that team was still built on, obviously, they wanted to throw the ball, but you were able to build a lot of things off the fact that you had Julio Jones as an X. In San Francisco, it's a different thing, which is why they're trading for Emmanuel Sanders halfway through the season. Debo Samuel looked really good tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad he's doing well. He was so much fun at South Carolina.
Yeah, he just looked raw fast tonight, so that was cool. And then obviously George Kittle. I mean, in a lot of ways, what the way that offense is built in terms of their pass catchers is kind of similar to what Kansas City is going on, because Kansas City, you know, has the big tight end who is the flexed out guy who just is a mismatch all the time, and then all their receivers are undersized guys.
I mean, if it works, poach it and use it. If you can replicate it, go for it.
So it's a weird hybrid in that they run the ball a lot. I mean, they just hammer it. And then instead of like drawing off that X from there, you know, San Francisco for all intents and purposes, just kind of draws off George Kittle's presence.
Yep. I mean,
so it's interesting. So it's interesting that those two teams are going to be playing each other in 2 weeks. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's an old school principle. When you're throwing the ball halfway through the fourth, I don't know what he finished at. I don't know. It was like 9 or 10 throws. I know he attempted at least a couple more passes after that. But, I mean, when you get to that point, I don't know. But it seems that they win with that guy under center. So, I don't know. Anything else you want to add before we go ahead and take this thing out back and shoot it?
No, I think just keep an eye on the Senior Bowl this week. This will be one of the more interesting quarterback groups in a while. I'm interested to see how Jalen Hurts does as well. Again, Herbert and Love need a consistent week more than they need to show off the tools or anything. And they'll be in good shape. Crazy defensive line group for more the South team, but both teams are really stacked there too. So I think there's probably a chance the offensive line groups get murdered. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. And with that, thanks to everyone for tuning in and listening to us. Obviously make stuff up. We don't know what we're talking about. In the meantime, you can catch all of our old shows up online. We're a part of the Finsider Radio Podcast Network. Several other shows in there. Definitely check those out. We'll talk to you soon, actually. We should probably get another Senior Bowl show in here, I think. I mean, we spent so much time talking about this. I don't know why we wouldn't do that. So, in the meantime, thanks to everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.